We come to day five. This is day five of the Poland Conference. And on day five, you guys are ready for this message. Message seven. What's message seven? Amen. Reigning in the kingdom of God. The title says, reigning in the kingdom of God, but I will translate it for you. It's really about a choice here. This message is a description of your very complicated being. You have really kind of some complications within you. It's been 5 days. Has there been any complications? Yeah, because we're complicated. But you have enough of the speaking that at this message, we can make a choice. A choice will be set before you, okay? We will describe who we are, and then you get to make a choice of who you want to be. Let's all read the title together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Reigning in the kingdom of God. And then Roman numeral 1. The reign of Joseph was... Amen. Oh, the reign of Joseph was the realization of the kingdom of God, which is for the fulfillment of God's purpose. This is why we're here, young people. This is why Poland Conference exists. This is why the serving ones came. And this is why you came. It is for the fulfillment of God's purpose. This is why we're here. And I'm going to read A to you, and I'm going to describe yourself to you. Okay? You ready? Okay, A. Although Joseph was offended by his brothers to the uttermost, he did not seek revenge. With Joseph, there was no thought of revenge. That's right. Joseph, he was not offended. But you know who was offended? Actually, it was his brothers that got offended. You know, Joseph, he was the favorite. And that offended his brothers. Are you the favorite in your family? Are you the favorite sibling of one of the siblings? If not, are you offended? Are you offended? Is it fair? Is it fair that your older brother hands you down his new clothes that he's worn for 5 years? Is it fair that you got the hand-me-downs? Is it fair that, you know, that maybe you're the younger one? And is it fair that your parents trust your older ones with more things? How come he gets to go out? Are you offended? Oh, maybe you're the older one and your parents are just a little bit stricter on you. How come I can't go? How come you let him get away with that? How come I'm doing the harder chores? You're offended. You're offended. Joseph's brothers were offended. Wow. Multicolored coat? I'm the older one. I'm the firstborn. I'm the son of Leah. Oh, his brothers were offended. So much so that they could not speak peaceably with him. They were talking about him behind his back. They were probably saying, look at that guy, master of dreams. Look at him walking around with his coat. Thinks he's all that. How dare he tell our father about what we did? He's no better than us. He's younger than us. Wait till he sees what we've seen. We've had to go through more. We were in Laban's house this whole time. We left after he was born. Oh, his brothers were offended. Are you offended? Has somebody offended you? Do you remember the offense? Is it still in your heart? Well, actually, there is a part of you that is not offended. That part of you is your spirit. The offense actually is somewhere in your flesh. It's somewhere in yourself. It's mainly up here, in your memory. You think about it. You think about it when you lie down in your bed, and you think about how this person has offended you. How dare that person say that to me? How dare that person not do this for me? You're just thinking about it. You're thinking about how you were wronged. But there is a part of you that has no thought of the offense at all. It doesn't even remember it. It's your spirit. Raise your hand if you have an offense. If somebody has offended you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay? Now let me ask you, how many of you want to forget the offense as if it never happened? You just have a clean slate. Yeah, that's right. That part of you is available to you. Amen. It is in your spirit. Amen. Are you offended? You gotta turn to your spirit. If you're offended, you're just one of the brothers, one of those 10 brothers. But there is a part of you that is the Joseph. And it is a choice. It is your decision. Amen. You can actually decide, I want to be Joseph. I want to be in my spirit. I want to not remember as if it never happened. Joseph was not offended, not at all. I'm going to repeat to you. It's still about us. Joseph denied himself and rendered the adequate and necessary discipline to his brothers, disciplining them not for his own sake, but for their sake. This is about us. You know how it's about us? Let me ask you, which of you guys are disciplined? You would say, I'm a pretty disciplined person. I'm disciplined. Yeah, Ariel? Very good. Well, let me ask you, how many of you would go to school if it were not required? Okay, Louis will go to school if he's not, even if it's not required. Okay, Louis, stand up. Louis, then now let me ask you, if you would go to school at 7 a.m. if it were not required. Oh, he sits down. Very good, okay, very good. You guys are very, very disciplined young people. Thank you. But would you go to school at 7 a.m. if it were not required? If the school's policy was, come to school when you feel like it. Stay for as long as you like, and then you get to go back, whenever you like. How many of you will get up at 7 and then leave school at 3? You might take a 4-hour lunch break. How many of you would do homework? Oh, how many of you would study? How many of you? Oh, you guys are all really good young people. Maybe school is not a very good example. What about getting up? What about getting up? Or going to sleep? Let me ask you. How many of you would go to sleep at 10:30 if it were not printed in the outline? Oh, wow. You guys are all very disciplined young people. Wow. It's very good. Okay, put your hands down. Let me ask you then, okay? How many of your parents would let you come to this conference if there were no regulations? If there were no serving ones? If there were no schedule, it was just come here and be here and go back. And in the meantime, whatever goes. How many of your parents will let you be here? I don't think so. I don't think any of your parents will let you be here. I don't think so, because they know you're not disciplined enough. They know you're not disciplined enough to be here by yourself without any regulation. And you know, actually, to be undisciplined is a real suffering. You know, when you're not disciplined, you get up late. And you're late to things. And the whole way, you're just thinking, oh, I'm late. and you're rushing, you're really anxious. When you're not disciplined, you forget to do things. And you feel so bad that you didn't do it. Your parents asked you to do something very simple, and you just forget because you're not disciplined. And then even the, we're not disciplined enough to go to bed and wake up at the proper time. So then you're so tired, but you're just not disciplined enough to just go to bed. And you wake up, and you're just so tired throughout the day because you were not disciplined enough to do anything right. It's a real suffering to be undisciplined. It's a real suffering. But you know, there is a part in you that is constantly under the disciplining of the Spirit, being perfected so that everything goes well. Everything goes is proper. Everything is going straight. You only have to do it once. And that part of you is your spirit. The wisest person, the most disciplined person, is in your spirit. Amen. Outside of the spirit, we're not disciplined. Why do you think Jacob had to send Joseph out to look for the brothers? They were not where they were supposed to be. They went somewhere else. Joseph had to look for them. He went to the place they were supposed to be, and they were not there. Joseph had to look for them. Jacob was getting worried. Our undisciplined selves worry our parents. Are your parents worried about you? Are they asking you to text them? To call you and see how you're doing? Because they're worried. They know you're not disciplined. But you know what? There is a part in your being that you can choose to be in, and that's your spirit. Amen. And more, if your parents see you in your spirit, they will be less and less worried about you. Amen. Amen. Point C, it's still about us. Still about us, okay? Joseph was a person who denied himself. Whatever he did was based upon the principle of self-denial. When he revealed himself to his brothers, they were terrified. They were terrified. Joseph, however, not only forgave them, but also received and comforted them. The offended one comforted the offending ones. Well, there is, I don't know if you caught on yet, two parts that you can live in, okay? You can live in the self, where all you do is offend others. Or you can live in the spirit, where even though you are offended, you can comfort the offending ones. You'll be a comfort to people. Joseph's brothers were really offensive, were they not? They really offended Joseph. Oh, Joseph's brothers. You know, one of my young people in my room, he was memorizing the verses about Joseph's brothers, and he's like, this is terrible. How could they do that to him? Wow. You know what they did to him? Do you guys know what Joseph's brothers did to him? From a long way off, they saw him, and they started speaking negatively about him. It actually said they conspired against him. You know what a conspiracy is? It is to come together to do something negative in secret and to keep it as a secret forever. Is there a secret that you've been holding on to for a long time now? Something that you think you're never ever gonna tell anyone? Wow. Has something ever happened that was so embarrassing, so terrible, so shameful that you can never tell anyone? And you have conspired within yourself to never tell your parents, to never tell your friends, to never tell anyone. And anytime something related to that comes up, you are terrified. You're just terrified. It might be that person. Every time you see that person coming down the road, Oh, you cannot. You just start talking to the person next to you. You have to avert their gaze. You cannot look at them. You can never look them in the eye. You avoid having a conversation with them for the rest of your life. You're always thinking, do they know? Do they know? And if they knew, if they already know, is do they still remember? Are they still angry? You're always thinking about it. You're so terrified. You're so terrified that you'll be found out. And you just feel so guilty. And there's nothing you can do about it except swallow it up. Try to cover it. Try to do something else to distract you. You're carrying this guilt on your shoulders, you think, for the rest of your life. Oh, you know what Joseph's brothers did to Joseph? They tied him up, threw him in a pit, then ate lunch around the pit. All the while, Joseph, it said that they saw the distress in his soul. They saw Joseph really in trouble. Yet, they hardened their hearts and just ate lunch. Maybe joked around that pit. And they, you know, at that time, Reuben had told them, don't kill him, don't kill him. Just throw him in this pit. Let's not kill him. And then Reuben left. Where did Reuben go? Reuben should have took him home. But Reuben just left. The oldest brother left the littlest brother. He just left. Did you ever just leave someone when they were in trouble? You just decided it was... You can't help it. And then they were still talking about killing him after Reuben convinced them not to kill him. Because Judah said, let's not kill him. So they were probably talking about killing him. And then Judah finally said, around the pit, within earshot of Joseph. And then Judah says, oh, let's not kill him. Let's make a little bit of money off of him. Let's sell him into slavery. Let's not be the ones to actually kill him. Let someone else take the fall. Have we ever done that? Where we decided to let someone else take the fall for us. We were really the ones that offended. We were really the ones that got in trouble. But when the serving one came, we just turned around, walked away. Let someone else deal with it. Oh, then they sold him for silver. They sold him. They sold him into slavery. They didn't care where he went. They didn't care how he died. They got money in their pockets. But you know what? When they came back to Egypt, every time they saw the silver, they were terrified. When they saw that money in their sack, they were terrified. When they saw the silver cup, they were terrified. Their hearts just melt. There is a part in you that whenever you see something that is related to the offense that you've caused, to the sin that you committed, you feel terrified. You just melt. All your boldness just vanishes. It's just leaking away. But there is also a part in you that not only is free of offense, but even if the offense comes upon you, somebody is doing something to you, sinning against you, you have no registration and you can actually comfort them. Oh, somebody did something to you. They broke something. They dropped your phone on the ground. The screen's cracked. This person feels terrible. They have no way to pay because you got a really expensive phone. They just feel so terrible. They're like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. If you are in your spirit, maybe the Lord within you might say, it's okay. It happens. You didn't mean it. You didn't intend to drop it. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, what a comfort. Many people have told me when I got in trouble, it's okay. It happens. and it just melted my heart. I was so anxious, I was so scared, and I call up that brother, "Oh brother, I'm in trouble, I did this." And the first word the brother asked me is, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Is everyone okay?" we're okay, but I'm so sorry, brother. It's okay, it happens. Wow, I was so comforted. I was so taken care of. And that is an option to you. You can be that person. You actually are that person. Amen. That is you. Yeah. And you can choose to live that life. Amen. Every moment, every time something comes, every time something is happening around you, you can actually turn to that part of your being that is Joseph, that is actually Christ, that's actually your true you. And you can say, "Oh, Lord Jesus." And you can turn and comfort one another. Are you the offending one? Are you the offending one? That's okay. Because you can turn to the Joseph in your spirit and say, "Lord, forgive me." And the Lord will comfort you. The Lord will say, "It's okay. I died for you. Don't worry. Be comforted. Don't be grieved. Don't quarrel along the way. Don't be angry anymore." Do you have these sins in you? You should turn to the Lord, okay? I'm gonna read the rest of the points under C, and my brother will come up and take on the message. 2. Joseph, this is still about you, okay? This is about you and your spirit as an option to you. You can choose to be this. Joseph did not blame his brothers for what they had done. Rather, he regarded them as God's helpers. Oh, what grace, how gracious, how wonderful this is. For they had helped God to get him to Egypt. Joseph was able to comfort his brothers because he realized that God, not they, has sent him to Egypt. Whether or not we forgive others depends upon our vision and realization. If we realize that we are here for the Lord's purpose, for the Lord's recovery, then we shall know that whatever happens to us is for God's purpose. Let me ask you, do you want to be a person that offends everyone? Anyone here that wants to be offensive, aggressive, jealous, just always after other people's things? Or would you rather be the person that can comfort everyone, that likes everyone? Amen. If you would, the Lord knows your heart. The Lord sees your heart at this very moment. And you can make that choice. Amen.
So our brother Jonathan is presenting us with a decision. Okay, so please draw on your paper. And what he's saying, which is really true, is that when you receive the Lord Jesus into you, he comes into your spirit, that part of you becomes Joseph. That part of you becomes Jesus. Yeah? That part. So if you have opened up and received Christ into you, there is a part. It's the central part. It's the most honest part. It's the deepest part. It's not on the surface. It's the deep, deep, deep down part. That part, like the core, the marrow inside of a bone, like the core of an apple, that deepest, deepest part is Jesus. Is one with Jesus. And that's why the Lord starts when we ask him to, and we make this decision, he does start to spread into our soul. But most of us are just little babies. Little baby Jesuses. Little baby Godmen in our spirit and a little bit into the soul. But what our brother John is saying, you get to make the decision. Today, in this meeting, am I going to live out here in my soul, or am I going to choose to live in my spirit? Am I going to be like one of Joseph's brothers out here? This is where you get offended. This is where the self is, self-love, donkeys, silver. It's all out here. Or am I going to choose to live in my spirit, right? Everyone in this room who has received Christ, you already have this option to you. It is not a future option. It is right here in this second. This is your option right now. Would anyone like to turn to Jesus in their spirit?
Amen.
If you would like to do that, say, Lord Jesus, I turn to you in my spirit. Yeah. Enter into the enjoyment. Experience the Lord. He's the rich supply. Don't let an hour go by without turning to your spirit. It's the same thing. So, will we live today like one of the brothers or like Joseph? How many of you, do you want to live in the misery of being a brother? Or do you want to live in the enjoyment of being a Joseph? What do you want? Tell me, what do you want?
Joseph.
Shout it out, what do you want?
Joseph.
Make a decision. God gave you a will. Use it.
Amen.
I choose Joseph.
Amen.
I choose Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. I like to share a story when John was talking. This is a very tender story to me. So I grew up coming to meetings, conferences like this, and so did my brothers and my sister. And my sister, when she was in the conferences, junior high and high school, she had a really tough time. And her serving ones, at least one in particular, was very harsh on her. Very harsh. And my sister got very hurt by that. Yeah. People get hurt in the conferences by serving ones. Yeah, that happens. And so she came to me. She said, Paul, they did this. They did that. Oh, my heart. I love my sister. My heart. I was so hurt. I started getting offended. Oh, I'm so upset at that serving one. She was offended, but now I'm offended. Has that ever happened to you? Has something happened to one person? And then they tell you, and now they're angry, and you're angry. You're both angry together. Yeah? How many has that ever happened? You got angry on behalf of somebody else. Yeah. Okay, then you can relate. So then I went to another conference. This serving sister was there. And we were talking about something else. And I knew a little bit that maybe she was involved in this. And she told me, she said, Paul, your sister was terrible. She didn't listen. She was terrible. I might start crying right now. was so painful. What my sister had said was true. She verified it. It wasn't a rumor. From her own mouth, she was terrible. Oh, so hurt. I love my sister. My sister stopped meeting. You know, it wasn't just that. There were other things, but... So I carried that for years. I was so upset with this serving sister. Oh, whenever I would see her, I just wanted to look the other way. I didn't want to see her. I just was so hurt by her. Just bitter. And the bitterness grows. You know, it doesn't get less. It grows. It grows. You just get angrier, angrier. And sometimes it helps when you're somewhere else. So then I moved to another city even. Now I didn't have to see her every week because I was seeing her every week. Now I'm in another city, you forget, but then I go back to the conference and there she is. Oh. This went on for a number of years. And so then the Lord, in his mercy, started softening me. He spoke a word to me, like what John shared to you. Started softening my heart and showing me who I was. You're complaining about this sister, but look at you. You also have failures, Paul. You also have done some terrible things. And finally, this is what it means to turn and speak to the Lord. You speak honestly. Lord, I'm upset with her. Lord, so I started doing that. I'm upset. This really happened. This is what she said. How could she say that? You don't hide your feelings from the Lord. Don't hide your feelings from the Lord. Don't hide anything from the Lord. Tell him everything. You start to talk to him, and that gives him a chance to start working himself into you. His heart, his thought. Oh, and one day I said, Lord, and I named her. Of course, I won't name her here. I said, Lord, I forgive her. I forgive her. Oh, the release. Oh, remember we said speaking releases you. Oh, that's an experience of release. Oh, I forgive her. I let it go. It was like being unchained. The offense is a chain. We think the offense gives us power over people. No, the offense chains you. And then it was not more than 1 week later. I was at a gathering. That sister, she's there. No, there's no more feeling anymore. She walks up to me. Paul, do you remember what I told you a few years ago about your sister? She says, I repent. I repent. I was wrong. She said, I was hurting. I was being treated a certain way by a certain brother. I just let it into the young people. To me, that was incredible. It had been years. I had seen her so many times. But the Lord has his timing. Joseph waited 9 years. I had to wait about 4 years. The Lord has his timing. He healed me. And then he confirmed it in less than a week. She repented to me. I didn't need it anymore. I didn't need it anymore because I had already forgiven her from my heart. But what a sweet kiss from the Lord. Saints, God is real. Who worked in my heart? Jesus. Who worked in her heart? Jesus. Raise your hand. if you've ever been offended by another saint in the church life, ever been offended? Okay. Maybe they've apologized to you. Maybe they haven't. But God is working in you and God is working in them. Oh, let's turn. Let's turn to our spirit. That's where the forgiving Joseph is. Oh, Lord, thank you. We've been forgiven. Be the forgiving one in us. How about right now, if there's anyone who has hurt you, offended you, you bring that name before the Lord, and if you have the supply and the grace, you just choose to forgive them. If you don't have that supply and grace yet, you can say, Lord, make me willing to forgive them. But if you are ready, and maybe some of you are, you've been holding on to it all week, or maybe for a few months, but you would just say, Lord, I choose to forgive that person. How about right now? We're going to take 30 seconds. If the Lord's touching you, go ahead. Amen. Quietly to yourself. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Anyone experience some release? Yeah? Oh, amen. Real forgiveness brings release. Joseph, in point D, had the dreams in which he saw his brothers bowing down to him. But in order for this vision to be fulfilled, Joseph had to undergo a great deal of suffering, especially at the hands of those closest to him. Point one, Joseph suffered constantly from the time he was 17 until he was 30, so that he might be perfected and qualified. Point two, God sent Joseph to Egypt to preserve life, so that a remnant might remain for the fulfillment of his purpose. I don't know why the Lord lets us go through all the things we go through. I don't. I can't presume to know. But the story I just told you, I don't ever want it to happen again. But I'm so thankful it happened. I gained something real from that. And hopefully that kind of experience can give life to somebody. But you got to go through some tough things. And gain the Lord in that thing so you can give life to others. That's what happened to Joseph. God's purpose is not to give you a good life like what TV talks about. God's purpose is to preserve life. It's to give life. The real capital L, life. Amen. God doesn't want to give you a good life. He wants to give you God's life. And he wants you to give others God's life. After point three, after suffering for 13 years, Joseph was enthroned to be the ruler of the earth. Point E, Joseph longed to see his father. And as the ruler of the earth, Joseph had the power and the position to bring his father to Egypt. But he did not do anything. Joseph could have sent chariots from Egypt to bring his father to him. However, it was 9 years before he had Jacob, his father, brought to him. Point two. Brothers, read point two, please. Joseph preferred under God's sovereign hand and to not initiate anything. Point three, sisters. Although he had been enthroned to be the ruler of the earth, Joseph did nothing for himself or for his own enjoyment. He was wholly for God's interest. Point F, altogether. Joseph was a self-denying person who had no self-interest, self-enjoyment, self-feeling, self-ambition, or self-goal. Everything was for God and for God's people. Everything was for God and for God's people. Joseph wasn't for himself. Joseph was for God's people. Okay. Well, we got to develop this a little bit. I want to share with you something here. Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not for himself. He's for the Father, and he's for God's people. Jesus Christ is for you. He's for you. What do I mean by that? He's for you. So if you are on a sports team, let's say you're on a football team, and there's fans, right, on one side, and then there's fans on the other side. One is for one team, and one is for the other team. You're on the team. And God is, he's one of your fans. He's for you. That's what it means to be for someone. He's for you. He's not on the other team. He's not a fan on the other side. No, he's on your team. He's on your side. And he's for you. Of course, that's very outward. But I just want you to understand the word for you. I think that many of us struggle to really accept that God is for us. That God loves us. Actually, it's important that you love God, Timothy. But more important than your love for God is to accept that God loves you. That's actually more important. We all have heard the verses that God loves us. But I think many of us are totally veiled, and we think, yeah, God loves us when I'm good. God loves us when I'm in the meetings. God loves us when I'm not doing something naughty. That's what we think. God loves us when? God loves us when I pray. God loves us when we do things that please him, right? Am I right? Do we have that thought? That's not God's thought. That is not God's thought. So I need to read you some verses in Romans chapter 8. Because maybe you won't believe me. But maybe you'll believe the Bible. Okay? So Romans chapter 8, we're going to start with a verse that's very familiar to you, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Joseph became, in a sense, the firstborn among many brothers. You see that? He wasn't born first, but he was the first to mature, right? He became the firstborn among many brothers. They were all what? They were all predestinated. All those brothers, even Reuben, Judah, Simeon, they were all predestinated. They were foreknown. They were predestinated to be conformed, to be just like Joseph. That's the dream. They're all sheaves of wheat. They're all shining stars. Those whom he predestinated, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. Now listen to this. This is the verse. Write this reference down. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? So I want you to repeat after me. God is for us. Who can be against us? God is for us. God is for me. Okay. So I'll just say this. Verse 32. Indeed, he who did not spare his... He's going to explain how he's for us. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? That's Joseph. I want to give you everything. Who shall bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It's God who justifies. How dare I bring a charge against any of you? Oh, he's not a good brother. She's not a good... How dare I do that? It's God who's justified them. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, and rather who was raised, who's also at the right hand of God and also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, I just love it. And he goes on, for in all these things we more than conquer through him who loved us. Last night, Tim painted this wonderful picture. You have the brothers there. They just care about their donkeys and their silver. Because they were so offended and they had sinned so greatly. Veil after veil after veil. They're just in the self. They're in the self. Self-interest. Self-enjoyment. Self-feeling. Self-ambition. Self-goal. Oh, it's just disgusting. They're just in this disgusting swamp of self. And Joseph's just like, I don't care about your silver. I don't need you to give me anything. I just want you to come closer. I just want you to come closer. I'll give you everything. There's nothing you can give me. I don't need anything you have. I just want you. And one of the biggest veils is, I think Joseph is angry with me. I don't think he likes me. So I'm not going to come. That is a lie. Was Joseph angry with his brothers there? What does the Bible show us? He was not angry. In fact, he goes to great lengths. He kisses them. He's like falling on their necks. I'm not angry. I love you so much. And they're still like, I don't know. And then even later, we haven't gotten to it. Years later, Jacob dies and they're worried again. Maybe he'll change his mind. And he's like, no, I love you. Oh, Brother Rafe. God is so wealthy. His chief delight is to give. He just wants to give you everything. Oh. What makes the Father's heart, what grieves his heart, is when we refuse him the opportunity of lavishing, spreading, giving his riches to us. Oh, God is so wealthy. He just wants to give you everything. All the food you ever need. That's God's heart. That's our Joseph. Will you choose to let him love you? Write that question down. Will I choose to let him love me? Oh, amen. Lord Jesus. Lord, I choose right now to let you love me. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Romans 2, Joseph was a person fully under God's restriction. He did not act according to his emotion. Because of this, he was able to be the ruler. Point A, if we cannot rule ourselves, we cannot be a good ruler. Only by being under God's restriction can we rule others. Point one, brothers, to be under God's restriction is the best discipline to prepare us for the kingship in the coming age. No childish person, no one who has not been restricted, will be a king in the coming kingdom. Saints, the restriction. Oh, the restriction. It's to bring us to the point where we're one with Joseph. Oh, where when he loves, we love. When he gives, we give. He sees that brother and he's like, give him food. And you're like, yes, Lord, I'll give him food. That's where the restriction is taking you. You don't care about your face. You don't care about your face. You just care about his purpose. Point two, sisters, in order for the kingdom to be realized in a practical way, there had to be a person who lived under restriction and who denied himself. Point B altogether, to bear the cross means that we refrain from doing what we have the power to do. It means that we are qualified and empowered to do everything necessary to fulfill our desire, yet we refrain from doing so. Point C, the strongest person is not the one who is able to do something, but the one who is able to not do what he has the power to do. This is self-denial. It is the unique way to usher in God's kingdom and realize the kingdom life. Okay, so, amen. I need these brothers right here. These brothers to come up. Sorry. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, go easy on you. Okay, yeah. Good to see you. Amen. Good to see you. All right. So, you know, Tim shared with us last night that there might be a person that has $10 billion. Yeah? Okay, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Do.
And do you?
No.
Not so much, but you do. Okay, good. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm that person. I've got a lot of money. I've got cars, airplanes, I mean hamburgers, pizzas, I've got houses. I've really got everything you'll ever need. Really. If you just come and hang out with me, you'll never have to worry about your future. You'll be able to just live no anxieties for the rest of your life. Yeah. So I don't know how much money you have. Let's just say that you have about $10. Okay. And maybe you have $20. And this guy doesn't have anything. Okay. Well, I don't know how to convince you to come live with me. I don't know how the Lord does it. You see, this is the Lord. He's so wealthy. He's just somehow got to appear to you. It's like you come close enough and you finally see his eyes. You're not afraid to look at him anymore. See, put your heads down. So You know, keep your heads down. See, I'm smiling at them. I just love you. I want you to be with me. But their heads are down. They don't realize it. But one day, their heads lift up. Come, be with me. Come be with me. Okay, and then you come. Okay, now you used to have nothing, but now how much do you have?
Everything.
You have everything. That's what the Lord wants from us in this conference. Okay. He wants to give you everything. That's our Joseph. He's got to appear. Lord, appear to me. Lord, appear to every young person in this room. Lord, may they look away from their old concepts. Lord, have mercy on them to see your shining face. May they let you love them. Oh, the Lord loves you.